The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
There's a gentleman much sought after on in the media's eyes of things, and it has to deal with what has been happening currently in our country. I want to welcome on board here on Freedom 106.5 FM the gentleman known as Chris Must List. Good afternoon, Chris. You just have to unmute on your end.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Chris Must List, man. What's happening on your end?
It's been a busy day. I'm just rushing to the police station to sign in for the day.
All right. So, I mean, I'm happy that you mentioned that. You know, what are some of the pre-existing conditions you were forced to undertake in order to get this $100,000 bail?
So there are three conditions. One, I sign in once a week at the police station. And second, my passport was surrendered to police. Mm-hmm. And third, I have to stay with my surety.
Oh, you have to. Right. Okay. So you're staying with the lawyers and whoever. But you're not under house arrest.
Correct. I have no other stipulations or rules at all.
All right. And you have no idea how long this case will take. They didn't give you any approximate time frame. You're just here indefinitely until this matter has been resolved.
For the time being, yes, that's correct.
Chris, everybody has been talking about the type of content you have been posting, and it got you into some hot water with our local authorities. One of the things I noticed when I look at your vlogs is that it wasn't just you visiting particular areas. You would have highlighted one of the first things that I saw you on. The very first time that I saw one of your vlogs here in Trinidad was at Point 14 Borody. And I found that this gentleman, you know, you got up like about 4:30 in the morning. I think a ride share picked you up and you had some company with you and you made your way down to Point 14. Let's talk a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? First and foremost, thank you. You know, I've done 10, 15 interviews since being released from prison. And you're the first one to acknowledge that. Everybody jumps automatically to gangs and guns. That by no means is my only content. Point 14. Was an event that I didn't know was about to happen, and I'm glad I was in Trinidad at the right time. Mm-hmm. But to experience such a cultural day of celebration.
You know, I looked at the video, and when I wanted to get a little deeper, because you didn't just film the activities. You touched on almost every aspect of Point 14 Borody, from the Blue Devils to the food content to the dancers. You even posted something that talked about if anybody was to see, you know, yourself dancing, send me a message and tell me if you see yourself, you know. Let me know what your full experience was when you were walking through Point 14 Borody.
Yeah, it was great. I didn't know what to expect. I'm from Toronto. We have our own Caribbean festival once a year, which I believe is one of the largest in the world. So I'm not new. I'm so sorry. Yes. Look, there's people saying hello.
Saying hello to you.
I'm not new to the music and the dancing, but I felt like it was the perfect introduction to Trinidad for me. I was deep into it. And funny, you know, the funny thing is people think I'm shy to dance. I love dancing. I love enjoying it, but I'm always a little worried that someone's going to catch me at the wrong angle and make me look silly. So when the camera's rolling, you won't find me dancing.
Well, that's funny, for a content creator. That would make great content as well, you know, Chris Must List dancing. I would have loved to see this Canadian jam to our soca music. That would have been really, really something. You know, when it comes to you and the kind of content you share, you know, why did you feel it was important to also share that type of content? Not just the aspects of going into our rural or gang areas, but to share this type of festivities, the culture of any particular country. Why do you feel that this is important as well?
Okay, so my channel, my YouTube channel of Chris Must List, is a journal of my life. It's a documentation of my life. Mm-hmm. So I don't sit down and think, okay, what is the audience going to like most? Or, you know, none of that. All I do is I film what I enjoy doing. So, yes, no matter what country you're in, I'd love to do some fishing and some cooking and some cultural events. There's no real reason why I did this. The reason I did it and filmed it is because I wanted to be there. I wanted to experience it. I didn't overthink it. I just wanted to participate.
One of the things I noticed with you is that you talk about documenting your journey. You said you were 45 years, and at the age of 41, you would have made the conscientious decision that you want to become a world traveler. You would have visited 127 countries before touching in Trinidad and Tobago at 128. So here's my thing.
Yes.
How did this journey begin? You would have been working secularly. You're a husband and a father of three.
Yes.
You know, what was the thought process when you got up one day and told your wife, that was it with me working secularly, I'm going to travel and going to start doing documentaries? How did this journey begin?
Yes. So I've been married 15 years to my lovely wife. I found a perfect woman that would tolerate my adventurous life. So, I mean, since I was a child, my goal was to see every country in the world. It's not a new goal at all. I've been traveling my whole life. But when COVID hit and my 40s hit, I felt like now it's time to take it more serious. There's been under 200 people in the world in the existence of humans that have touched every single country. So it is sort of work in the sense that it's difficult to get visas and to travel. But, you know, COVID hit and I'm like, I got to take this more seriously. If I want to achieve the goal, I got to start moving with some haste. And that's when I opened my YouTube channel.
One of the things I must commend you for, a lot of persons will create a bucket list and seldom get to complete as half of that list. You were able to actually achieve your dreams, and that is something I must commend you for. Now, when it comes to getting into sharing your stories of gang life, what contributed? What was the thought process when you decided to go into various countries such as Haiti, Jamaica? I know Trinidad and Tobago was not your first Caribbean island. But going into these areas,
right,
what was the thought process outside of highlighting the culture that you felt, you know, motivated to go into the downtrodden in society and actually highlight these things?
Yeah, for sure. You know, when I started this YouTube channel, first and foremost, I wrote down on a piece of paper, like, I'm joining a saturated market of YouTube, of content creators.
Right.
What's going to make me stand out from everyone else? And sort of the three things that I touched upon that I feel like I brought to the table that nobody else did is I have a lack of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean fear overall, because I'm scared of heights and there are some things that scare me, like death, but I don't have a fear of people. So that's one of the items that I wrote down, and I'm like, this is going to make me different. I'm going to go in everywhere. I love every race, every culture. I'm open to anything and I have no fear. So initially, once again, that was sort of one of my branding points that you know, I'm not your average tourist, as my hat says.
Welcome to the Overdrive with Davey, the most electrifying, impartial, educational, and entertaining show on radio. The Overdrive with Davey on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Once again, good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago. Of course, welcome back to Freedom 106.5 FM, 18 minutes after the 4 o'clock. We are chatting with the most, I shouldn't say wanted, but most sought after vlogger and journalist by extension in Trinidad and Tobago, Mr. Christmas List. Good afternoon again, Chris. Technology, everybody?
Yes, sorry, I got disconnected. My apologies.
That's okay, man. Once you came back, we are very happy to have you. So let's continue with our discussion. And my next follow-up question with you this afternoon is to give me some insight as to how did your family feel? I mean, when you started posting and putting up information, you would have gone in one particular direction. But when they saw you visit places like Haiti, Jamaica, Somalia, when you got into problems in Somalia as well, you know, how did the family feel about this? What was the wife's conversation to you following your 40 days incarceration, coming out, continuing to do this type of work? What was wifey's position?
Yeah, support, love and support. I'm new to YouTube, but I'm not new to what some consider danger travel. As a child, I wanted to be a war photographer, and I've been doing this since I met my wife and well before. So I guess it's been happening so long that it's not like current news with my wife. She fully supports me.
Well, that's good.
I should touch upon Somalia. I've seen a lot of media talk about me getting in trouble in Somalia. I never got in trouble in Somalia at all. I was questioned for maybe 30 minutes in regards to feeding homeless. But the media take that and run with it and add their own twists and turns. But I was never arrested nor kicked out of Somalia and I'm welcome back at any point in my life.
Well, I'm very happy to get that from you because, you know, when we look at mainstream media, we tend to see that they are credible sources of information. But then we have to take everything with a pinch of salt. And being able to chat with you was great, you know. Let's move on. Before I ask you my other question, let me throw this out at you. Were there any type of training that you would have engaged in before delving into vlogging and, of course, editing videos and posting?
No, not at all.
Okay, great. Then, in Trinidad and Tobago, it has been rumored, and I must say, it has been rumored, so it's not fact, right? I tried to figure out whether it was fact or fiction. I said I will go to the horse's mouth and ask it to you yourself. How was it, first to begin with, how were you able to get in to this, to these various communities, these areas? What sort of assistance you had, and were you taxed? Did you have to pay any sort of monies in order to get these interviews?
No, never. So I've never paid a penny to anyone ever. That being said, if, like, when I was in the community in Haiti and a gentleman showed me around, I gave him a pair of shoes as a gift for his time. And I also believe I gave him $100. I never pay people under the pretext. I never meet somebody and say, hey, I'll give you $100 if you show me your neighborhood. I feel it's so unauthentic. I feel like they're like a tour guide opposed to a friend for the day. So, no, I didn't pay anybody in Trinidad. I did buy some kids footballs and et cetera. Or buy a few drinks or soup. Look, the simplest way for me to put it, how do I get into a community? I often ask for a local artist. You know, I give them a platform to showcase their talent, which they like and enjoy because I have a worldwide audience. And that helps me get in, per se. Mm-hmm. I also have a resume now that's quite lengthy.
I would imagine.
People can presume that a video that I post is going to get 100,000 plus views, which is people want to be on camera. You know, YouTube is like the TV used to be when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, when I saw a reporter on the street asking questions, I would always have my hand up and say, yes, let me talk, just in hopes that at 6 o'clock when I'm sitting with my grandparents and my mom and dad, I could be like, that's me, right? So people want to be on camera. So I just go. And not many people will just go. So it works. Those are my three secrets. Be there. You know, be respectful, look for some talent, and have the resume that backs it up. Because if I went to the same neighborhoods and I had 100 subscribers, my success rate would be a lot lower than it is now.
You know, when it comes to you, right, we have journalists in this country. You was able to break barriers and, you know, get into some communities that even we as citizens, one, afraid to go, two, unable to get in. What is it about you that makes you people-friendly and people-oriented that we just love Christmas? Listen, Christmas touch on your country and Christmas is an overnight sensation in Trinidad. What makes people open up to you?
I think you'd have to ask the people I talk to. I don't know. I guess my gift of gab, you know, I think just being respectful, being humble, having empathy for the situation and having the ability to communicate. You know, I don't go in with tough questions. You know, I don't push them into a point where they're not comfortable during conversation. I sort of just ask simple questions and let them lead the way. Most of these people just want to talk. They want to share their experiences. A lot of people, Trinidad, have had a very rough life. You know, me as an outsider is somebody brand new. I don't know if you've ever brought a friend or a family member or somewhere for the first time, an amusement park or fishing, and it's their very first time. You like, I get excitement out of doing things with people for the first time. So I find it's almost therapeutic for them to tell me their stories. And I think that's one of the reasons I'm successful in just having conversations with strangers.
Let me ask you something. Understanding, I'm very happy that the Somalia situation was something that was a bit overdone by the international media and that you were able to clear that up, because we would have been getting false information. And of course, to say you can't blame us, you know, we're searching for information, we're doing our research, and we would have been seeing these stories. So we're not sure. We're very happy that we're able to bring you onto the show this afternoon for you to clear the air on this. Let me ask you a question. How has this affected you? From what I am getting, looking at you, listening to your narrative, even after your interaction with the law, I am getting a positive spirit from you. But in your downtime, in your honest, your truths, how has this affected you?
I was affected while I'm locked up very temporarily. The first day, I'd be a liar if I didn't tell you it was a real mental challenge of not really understanding why I was there or how long I would be there and how long I would be away from my parents, not my parents, not just my parents, my family, my wife and my kids. You know, as you get older, time is a lot more limited, or so it might seem. So it really tested me the first day, but, you know, I came to the realization that I don't look back in time. I'm not the kind of guy that says, well, what if I would have done this? And what if I would have done that? I don't live my life like that. I'm accountable for my actions. And I decided on the second day in the cell that let me turn this negative into a positive. Let me keep doing what I'm doing. Let me learn from my mistakes, per se. I'm upbeat like this, on and off camera. This is me.
Let me ask you a question. You said something about learn from my mistakes. I've been hearing you saying that in various interviews that has been sent to me.
Yes.
What mistake, in your respected opinion, you would have you would tell us now that you committed? What was this mistake that you talk about?
I make mistakes every single day of my life. My friend TJ is right to the side of me.
Hello.
And when my camera went off, and he was talking loud outside the car, I spoke in a manner I shouldn't have. You know, he's been such a great friend and so supportive throughout this whole journey. And I said something I probably shouldn't have said to him. That was a mistake. That's something I need to learn to control. I can't get frustrated at simple little things. As a 46-year-old man, I have a lot to learn, and I'm by no means perfect. Okay. So, I mean, little mistakes I make every single day of my life. I'm not accustomed to doing 10 interviews a day. It adds up. But my actual spirit is very high. It's impossible not to be, because when I walk down the street, the support that I get from hundreds of strangers keeps me, you know, above, I don't know how to put it, like my upbeat, I'm just very happy. How do I put it any other way? I'm happy.
This is a yes or no question. You would not stop vlogging of this kind of content? Would you stop at any point?
No.
Good. So you are continuing. You're going to be visiting country number 129, 100 and, well, there you go. So
I got my camera. Today, I got a new camera, so yes,
100%. So the equipment that you brought with you, that has been confiscated, and it's now in evidence for the police as they build their case. We're not going to talk much about your case because it's in the matter of the courts, and, you know, we have to tread carefully on those issues. So let's go back to, I'm glad that you got a new camera, and, you know, I listened to your interviews, and I want you to tell me, what is the takeaway? What is the one thing that you have been hearing these individuals in these communities speaking that you think the rest of the population needs to know? What is that one cry that they were crying out for that you think Trinidad and Tobago seriously needs to listen to?
I don't think it's one cry. I think every individual has a voice that deserves to be heard. I'm not in their shoes. I haven't walked a mile in their shoes. I haven't woken up with an empty stomach or had the daily troubles that they've had. So my recommendation would be for the audience just to listen to every single voice. If you've asked me what have I learned from this whole experience,
yes,
that myself, I need to become more responsible with anything I've published. I thought, as somebody in the media that gets millions and millions of views per month, I don't have a certificate. I've never gone to school for journalism. That, in my mind, does not change the fact that I am a journalist. I do what journalists do, and I ask questions that journalists do. But what I'm finding out right now in Trinidad, this is not the world around, but in Trinidad, I am responsible for what I publish. Even if it's not my mindset or belief, if I put a camera to someone's face and they say something negative and I upload it, I am as responsible as they are. This is what I'm learning along the way. And if you asked me this a week ago before my arrest, I would have laughed at you and said, no way. No way is the World War II reporter as responsible for recording a conversation about war as that person that just murdered somebody else. But these are the rules that I need to abide by while I'm in a visiting country, namely Trinidad and Tobago.
Would your experience affect you if you're given the opportunity to return? I've heard you said it time and time again. You're concerned about being able to come back to this country.
For sure.
Your experience, if you get the opportunity to return here, maybe 2 years down the road, would you come back? Would you bring your family?
Of course.
Would this be a country?
I hope I don't have to wait. Mm-hmm. I hope I don't have to wait 2 years.
Well, partner,
this is Trinidad's got a place in my heart, and
I think
my audience can see that. So that's why I'm getting the love and support.
Yeah.
I'm not just here to shoot one or two videos.
Beautiful.
Hopefully for the rest of my life.
What about other Caribbean islands? Would you be visiting other Caribbean islands with this experience?
Every single, the mission is every single country in the world. So I'm about 70 countries away from completing my mission. So there are definitely some Caribbean countries I've yet to visit.
All right, good. One of the things I'm getting from one of my texters is that they're glad that, you know, you said to be responsible, you know, when it comes to what you post. Yeah. That is something that one of the texters are sending me here, and they're very, you know, another one says, Christmas, this is a very, very intelligent man, very proud of him. So you're getting that love and support, and I don't believe it's just about, you know, your posting, but I believe it's the fact that you were able to get the truth. You were able to get the good, bad, and indifferent. Because I can't say, I'll be lying if I say that you are only known for posting the quote-unquote gang life activity. That's not what you are known for. You're a vlogger. You post and publish what you see. Let's talk about your visit to these various areas before we come forward a bit. In going into those different communities, there was one area where you realized there was a street, one simple road, less than 10 feet away, is a borderline, and if anybody crosses it, you know, there is content between the two communities. What is one thing that you have learned in talking to these various individuals that you think government needs to hear? What's some things that you would have picked up in these communities that you think government missed?
Yeah. You know, just me repeating what people say.
Yes, what people said.
Opportunity is one. Opportunity for employment is a huge issue. And the word that I heard most is stigma.
Yeah.
And in my idea as to what stigma is, it's like you're in the neighborhood that you're from is stuck with you. So if you're from Nelson, the stigma is if you're from Nelson, you're either a robber or you're a shady person that does not deserve an opportunity at employment. Now that stigma is something that has to be removed. Because, you know, these neighborhoods also create doctors and lawyers and police officers and military
and
future politicians.
Yes.
But without giving, you know what, like, if you steal a child's dream, children like to dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a child, we all dreamt of opportunity and big homes and nice cars and having great jobs. Now, when that dream is taken away, you know, we really change the future. The future of any country is the children. And unfortunately, the children's dreams are really being destroyed because they're witnessing the fact that there isn't much work. There is that stigma of you can't get a job, even when you get older, if you're from certain neighborhoods. So that's the recurring theme. Once again, that's not my standpoint. That's the standpoint of the people that I'm talking to over and over. And even the men that seem to be holding guns, when they say peace is what they want. They do not want to be at war with each other. They want peace. I don't think anybody really wants to be looking over their shoulder.
They want that kind of love.
24 hours a day.
They want the love. Let me ask you a question. You know, you would have visited 127 countries before coming to Trinidad. You know, what other countries you would say has similar issues to what we are experiencing here? What other countries comes close to what you would have experienced here in Trinidad and Tobago?
The USA.
The USA,
I think, even has more problems. Here, the crime is a problem, but I don't find drugs, like deadly drugs. You know, like fentanyl is a huge problem in my country as well as Canada and the USA. Here, crime is very prevalent, as is Jamaica, for example, not too far away, another Caribbean island. Those would be the most comparable. Haiti, I think, is a lot worse than Trinidad.
Wow.
Hopefully Trinidad never gets to that point.
Hmm.
But those are a few examples of some places that I've been which have similar problems.
Now, I mean, from all that you have seen, you know, as a world traveler, the world have problems. There is social ills, social injustices. The world has problem. If you had to sum it up in one phrase or sentence, what would you think is necessary to solve some of these existing situations across the globe?
Yeah, I think you need to speak to somebody much smarter than me. But I'll tell you what I do have. I do have hope.
Hope.
Not only for Trinidad, but the world. I'd say 99.9% of the people in Trinidad are kind, genuine people. Yes. Hello.
I would think that you are the right man to ask the question, not somebody that professes some sort of legal intellect or political intelligence. You know, you are a man on the ground. You would have traversed these communities, good, bad, and indifferent. You would have listened to the clarion calls of the citizenry and the community activists within these areas. So, I mean, I think you are the right person. You know, we hear you hearing this thing constantly, because one of the things I deduce from your videos, the fact that there are some areas where government has neglected, you know, we're seeing areas where unkept and government authorities did not go into these areas right here in Trinidad. So I'm thinking, from just looking at your video, I can deduce government needs to pay attention to these things. Cleaner drains, steps, box, you know, all these different things for the community, for water to run off, drainage, all these kind of things, you know, to assist individuals in the community. Outside of that, create opportunities, homework centers. Some of these people can't even write a resume. You know, how do
I agree with everything you just said, 100%.
Yeah. So I think that's, you know, I mean, when it comes to dealing with you, I mean, I must give you kudos for the work that you have done across the world, not just Trinidad and Tobago. I looked at your videos. Let me ask you this question. I don't know if it was asked of you. Your videos were removed after your incarceration, once you were arrested, sorry, not incarcerated, but once you were arrested. Yes. Was that a decision taken by you? Who gave that order? What went on there?
So it was 100% a decision made by myself, under no recommendation from a lawyer or the police. And during my interrogation or interview, when I had realized of what my charge or offense was, it wasn't pinpointed to me as to which video that offense actually took place. I didn't know what, I still really don't know. I've just been told that a video that I published has broken some sort of rules.
Okay.
So my first instinct is, if these videos are as dangerous as some people want to make it out to be, I don't want to participate in it. Let me contact my wife and have her remove them. When I requested from the police, if I should, they didn't really show much concern either way. So it's not a restriction. It wasn't a recommendation. It was me personally saying that, let me go through every video myself to ensure that I feel like I'm not breaking any rules in each video. So the videos themselves are slowly making their way back up. I think I got about 6 or 7 of them up yesterday. And over the course of the next week, all of them will be back up, because once again, nobody has ever asked me to remove them. It was my choice.
Now, with the officers that had you, you know, what was the experience like dealing with the officers? Not the in line of what kind of questions they would have asked, but just the general treatment of you while in their custody.
Amazing, I guess. I know that the average police officer at a police station is not responsible for the maintenance of the location. The cell itself is horrendous. You know, I wouldn't put my dog in the cell.
Wow.
It probably hadn't been washed for with sterilization in months. You know, feces all over the wall. Hard to get toilet paper. You do have a toilet, no like way to wash your hands, or no toilet paper. Sometimes the cell could have 15 people plus in it. But I mean, those are things that it's not the police officer's responsibility, right? That's just the standards right now. But I mean, from a correctional standpoint, I've never done this before. I don't know who to compare it to, but what I can say is, I don't know if they were treating me, or because I was there, I don't know if they were acting different, but they were above kind. And I think they were the perfect, most suitable people for the job. I would see them stop and talk to inmates. You know, these people that I'm with have not been convicted of a crime yet, even though some of them are very heinous. They would still take time every day to come over and just be an ear for them to talk to. So I must applaud. I'm talking in particular about the, maybe not correctional officers, but the police station, the police that are responsible for the prisoners before they've been tried and convicted.
So they took a minute to come across and just chat with the prisoners, or at least allow them to vent and listen to them. That's really commendable. I'm happy that you had that kind of experience in Trinidad and Tobago. And as far as your recommendations goes for to bring in persons into allowing persons to visit our island, would you blacklist us? And this is an honest question. Would you blacklist us, or would you say, you know what, don't let my experience stunt you? Please, the island is more than just what is published. Come and take a look for yourself. What would be your narrative there to visitors?
Come. Bring your whole family. Come to Trinidad and Tobago. I think the average tourist is smart enough to know that you're not going to be going into the type of places that I'm going to go into. Even locals know not to go there. So you're not going to experience what I've experienced. My one precaution would be, if you're planning on uploading to YouTube, understand that when you upload, whether you create it or not, mm-hmm. if you're the one publishing the video, you're as responsible as the one speaking. Listen, I don't feel like I've done anything wrong, and we'll let the judge decide that.
The law will
accountable
decide
if they find me that I've done something wrong, then I'm ready to do what is required. But what I would say is just be careful. You know, I don't know if the world knows this. There are international YouTubers here.
Yeah.
In Africa, Israel.
Cuckoo was here as
well.
When
I was arrested, they booked tickets and they're gone. They were supposed to stay for weeks and weeks. The average person might not realize how important YouTubers are in a country. It's very important in generating tourism. So I don't want anyone to be afraid. I'm not afraid.
I am happy that you say that. So even to your fellow vloggers that, you know, they got scared. And I mean, it's human nature. Oh my gosh, the whole Chris was doing what we looked to get out. I mean, it's understandable, you know, that they would make that trek. But now that you have gone through it, you know, what advice would you leave with your fellow vloggers in terms of having them return to do documents? Because as I said, it's not just about visiting those, you know, those type of areas, but it's also the tourism aspect of things, the hotels that they would stay at, the food that they will partake in, the different destinations. We have turtle watching, there's the mud volcanoes, there's several different parts of this country that, you know, is very, very engaging. The Avenue, the city that never sleeps in St. James, then there's Tobago. So, you know, what would be your advice to those vloggers if they should return to this country?
So, what I would say to the people listening from Trinidad and Tobago, let's not wait for tourists to come and show your beautiful city. Let's locals that use all of the locations that you just mentioned, including TJ here.
TJ, good afternoon to TJ.
Good afternoon, brother. Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago to your listeners, you know?
Yeah,
bless
man.
Up, bless up.
Bless
him. When I met him a month ago, since then, he's become a YouTuber, and he's grown an audience of over 3,000 people.
Wow.
So let's not wait for international YouTubers to decide, should I come or should I not come? Guys, pick up your camera. You don't need to be a full-time YouTuber to document your experience doing all the wonderful things you just mentioned. That's part one. And part two is the tourism board of Trinidad and Tobago has to put a lot more effort into enticing influencers. Like, normally, you have to understand, influencers like myself that get 5 to 7 million views, we're paid money by tourism boards to come to the country and document those more beautiful flora and fauna type stuff, right? Then it's outlined what we will document, because this is what people get paid to do. So if you want to entice the best YouTubers and choose what you want them to film, that's a job, that's a payment. And that's how, you know, Belize, the small country of Belize here in South America, pays over $120 million a year to YouTubers to come to their country to entice. So let's not think that you know, me spreading out a word that people are going to start doing it for free of charge. This is what people have dedicated
their whole life
to achieve. So it goes both ways. But in the meantime, YouTubers, local YouTubers, you don't need a million subscribers to just enjoy your night with your friends on the Avenue and document it and upload it, because tourists around the world are looking for that real content. So that would be my recommendation.
Christmas, I wanted to thank you. Of course, let me just tell TJ, thank you so much for being a brilliant, wonderful tour guide and support system.
Yes.
Could I just say one thing?
Of course, talk to me.
Yes, YouTuber life is very important in Trinidad. A content creator is the new journalist of the day. It have a big industry, and I would like the radio stations to keep lobbying for local YouTubers like ourselves.
Okay. All right.
Because the international YouTubers coming to give us the experience, and the tourism is very big behind this. So it's for you all to lobby and give us a forum. I'd like to get an interview myself where we could spread more knowledge more times. Thank you.
Thank you very much, TJ. And no doubt you would not be a stranger to my show here on Freedom. We can talk in not too distant future. You are in the capable hands of Mr. Christmas List, who is a very, very experienced individual in this area.
Yeah, I'm a tutor. That YouTuber.
Chris, you have received the love. And from what I gather with you, is not the even the officers that had to deal with your matter and take you into custody and chat with you was kind to you. And as you said, while the conditions were inhumane, you know, I'm happy that you was able to highlight that so that we can talk about it. Those inhumane conditions that you were forced in and you were not convicted of a crime. You was just innocent until proven guilty. You were held for questioning, you were charged, but you were not convicted of a crime. I want to wish you all the best and tell you thank you so much, you know, for what you have done coming in here and sharing. But here's my last question to you. Before arrested and all of that, where was your next country that you were heading when you departed from Trinidad and Tobago? Where were you planning on going?
Guyana.
Ah, okay. So I would imagine that following this experience, your first trip from here would be to Miami, pick up your Lamborghini,
yes,
and drive all the way back to Montreal. Yeah.
To Toronto. Yes.
Well, Chris, I wish you all the best. If you're still around in the coming weeks, I would be happy to chat with you again, continue to get your experiences. Yes. And bro, be safe out there. You have already done that. We here in Trinidad and on Freedom, you know, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you so much for your time. All the best.
Buddy. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And of course, that was Christmas List, man. That was a very, very important guy. I mean, he's very much sought after in the media world as they are trying to get him because of the fact that, you know, he documented all of these things and put it out there and it seemed to have us in a negative light. But one of the things, you know, with the big show here and with Freedom and Guardian, we don't just look at what everybody else is seeing. That's why I had to start my interview with that Point 14 video, because there was also good content. All his content are great content, but there was also positive content in the sense of the frills and fauna and flowers and all the festivities. I mean, Point 14 Borrowday was a big one in Trinidad and Tobago. A lot of persons would have put away monies and make the trek down to Point 14 in order to stay. And my personal brethren, close friend of mine for the last 24 years, he looked forward to that. He would have gone down there, spent a night overnight in a guest house and palance in the Juve. But you know, Point 14 Borrowday is not just about the final day. It's a week of activities, sometimes a fortnight, 2 weeks in advance. There is activities leading up to the final. So with that, we say thank you to Christmas List and wish him all the best in his endeavors going forward.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.